Sitting in the lead logboat with a gowsome friend Osbill, who was still acting as prow spot, Maudie was pleasantly surprised at the silence which had fallen over the vessels. Looking back, she saw the otters and shrew babes in the second boat. They were all sound asleep.
Well, who'd have thought a few verses of gentle singing could send those little bounders to dreamland, what?
Osbill continued prow-spotting as he replied.
Aye, that and a few drops of Mrs. Frenna's shut-eye potion. 'Tis naught but simple herbs, but it does the job every time, believe me, mate.
Barbola swam alongside the logboat, issuing directions to the gowsome paddlers.
Better step up the pace, buckles. Curdley's rats have all reached the bottom of the falls. They'll be right in our tail afore long. Stay straight on this course, but keep your eyes peeled for a big white willow tree to your right, or he'll direct you from there.
Osbill saluted with his rapier.
Straight ahead it is. I'll watch out for the willow.
Logalog Luglug had stationed himself in the coracle with Rigrill and Teagle. They kept to the rear of the logboats, constantly watching behind for the first sign of Curdley and his brown rats. It came sooner than they had anticipated. Teagle spied about 20 of the vermin front runners in the distance.
Here they come, mates. All painted, well armed and ready for the slaughter. They're still a fair way off, but coming along fast.
Luglug groaned.
Oh, and they're coming along the left bank too. We could have done without that.
Rigrill shrugged.
Makes no difference, look. There's another lot just appeared on the opposite bank.
Luglug beckoned to an otter swimming alongside the coracle.
Get up front, matey. Tell them to put on as much speed as they can. We need to get round that bend up ahead.
Word went along the line of logboats. On Luglug's command, they went into a formation of pairs. Grimly, every gowsome bent to their paddles. Head ropes were thrown out to the otters. With strong otters to each rope, they sped along in front of the vessels, increasing the overall speed as they towed skillfully. All this was done in complete silence. At this point, no beast wanted to wake the little ones and cause extra confusion. Stringle strode back along the right bank to where the main body were coming from the foot of the waterfall. At the centre of the lines, Grunthand Curdley was propped up on his carrying litter. Stringle made his way through to the brown lat leader.
I've been spotted, boss, peddling along the stream up yonder. Those stream dogs too. Ha ha ha, won't be too long before we catches them up now.
Grunthand did not even acknowledge Stringle's report. He was applying himself greedily to some cold plugs and dips which had been looted from the otter's wrecked holt. Stuffing his mouth with plugs, he drank deeply from the cauldron. The cold mixture slopped down his chin onto his bandages. Stringle stood waiting until his gluttonous leader could talk. Grunthand belched aloud. Wiping a grubby paw across his mouth, he announced.
That ain't bad, grub. It tastes better if it was hot, though. Listen, don't slay all those stream dogs when you catch 'em. Keep one of 'em alive. I'd like to know how they makes these victuals.
Grunthand wiped his dip-slop paw on the head of a nearby litter-bearer, wincing as he sat up straight.
And you say you've caught 'em, eh?
Stringle shook his head, correcting Grunthand.
No, boss, I only said we've spotted them and it won't be too long afore we catches them.
Grunthand glared at him peevishly, gesturing.
They don't stand in a flap in your jaw. Go and catch them. I gotta have those shoeboats.
Stringle knew there was no point in talking to his boss when he was in such a mood. He saluted and dashed off without further ado.